All right, open your Bibles, please, this morning to the book of Acts, chapter 4. The book of Acts, chapter 4. And we have had a little vacation from Acts 4, but with all that was going on. But I want to go back to it this morning, and I want to use this as a launching pad in order to teach you something that you already know, but something that I want you to think about this morning. As Pastor Rick mentioned a moment ago, many of us made commitments during our spring revival, which was just absolutely a wonderful week. And thank the Lord for all the decisions that were made, and thank the Lord for the good giving that was that we received. We sent Brother Rossi. I think I told all of you last week it was right close to $10,000 to help with his medical expenses and all the bills that they've accumulated. But then a bunch more money has come in. I didn't get the total, but another thousand or plus dollars has come in for that cause, and so we'll send that to him as well. But thank the Lord for a great week. And during that time, many of us made decisions about serving the Lord and about getting involved in some area of ministry. And I want to speak to you this morning on the fuel that will enable us to do what we committed to God to do. I want to speak to you this morning on the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, use Acts chapter 4 as the launching pad, but I want to speak to you on the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, when the Lord Jesus ascended, he told the disciples that he would not leave them without a comforter. He said, "I will go, but I will send you another comforter." And there is a purpose for which the Holy Spirit came. He did not come just for random works. He came for a purpose. And so let's use this prayer that was given in the fourth chapter of Acts, that this prayer that was offered to God as a means of learning one of the main reasons that Jesus sent back the Holy Spirit to indwell the believer. Now, if you look at verse 23, it says, "In being let go," you remember they were arrested for preaching the gospel on the Temple Mount. And when they were arrested, they were kept overnight, and then they were interrogated the next day by the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin told them, "We're going to let you go, but no preaching. You stop this preaching stuff. No more crowd, gathering crowds and preaching and giving invitations and seeing people get saved. You stop all that." And of course, they refused to do it. But if you look at verse 23, it says, "And being let go," they let them go this time, "they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, 'Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, Why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done.'" Now listen very carefully to this prayer. It says in this part of it, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may," what's the next word? "Speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." So that's their prayer. They are praying for the Lord to give them more boldness and more opportunity to preach and proclaim the message of Christ. Look at verse 31. Did God hear their prayer? Well, in verse 31 it says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Did God answer their prayer? They prayed for boldness, and the answer is yes. But how did the Lord fulfill that prayer? Well, you will notice a little phrase in verse 31. It says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." When they were filled with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God gave them that boldness that they needed in order to preach and proclaim the Word. So I want to use these verses, and I wish to speak this morning on the subject, the work of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Our Father, how thankful we are that we have a place where we can come, and Lord, without fear of intervention, we can stand here and proclaim the Word of God and learn the Scriptures. And Lord, I pray that you will bless us this morning. Lord, I thank you for each person who is here, and just pray that you will empower the message now, that it may be a blessing and an encouragement to each one. Lord, help us to see the point this morning and to understand the blessed work of the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, each one of us who are saved know Christ is our Savior. We have the Holy Spirit of God living within. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, there's a purpose for which the Holy Spirit lives within us. Help us to see that this morning, and then motivate us to want to be used of Thee and blessed of Thee. And Lord, we'll give you praise for what's accomplished. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, I want us to think about this passage of Scripture this morning, and in so doing, we want to look at the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, if ever there was a doctrine that has brought a ton of confusion to people today, it is the Bible doctrine on the Holy Spirit. There's so much confusion in this area. I want you to understand, dear friend, that the Church of Jesus Christ is not a building, but a people. The church is not a building, it is a people. There is a sense in which this brick and mortar and concrete that we are sitting in this morning is a church, but not in the true biblical sense of the matter. The fact that you are here, you are the church. And the church is a people, and that it is a people who believe the message of the gospel and who regard as facts the wonderful works of God. That's the church. It is a group of people that believe the facts of the Bible. And these people who are saved are possessors of the Holy Spirit of God. You see, at salvation, you were baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit set up permanent residence in your life. The Holy Spirit of God indwelt you at salvation, and He still indwells you today. You are saved by the blood of Christ, by your faith in Christ, but it is the Holy Spirit of God that was given you and who seals you unto the day of redemption. Paul asked the question, he said, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? You've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and spirit, which are God's." But please understand that what the Bible teaches is that when you trust Christ as your Savior, your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, we understand that God is God. We understand that Jesus is God. And we also understand that the Holy Spirit is God. God has a throne. God sits on the throne in heaven. Jesus has a throne. Jesus sits at the Father's right hand at the throne in heaven. And also understand that the Holy Spirit, who is just as much God as God is God, who is just as much God as Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit also sits on a throne, and that throne is the throne of your life, your heart. And so how is all this related to us? Well, we start by seeking to know the content of that great message that these disciples preached. Here are these men who are who are the benchmark, we look today back to them to see how they did it and how they built churches and how they served God. And we look back upon them and we see that they were a people who knew the gospel and they proclaimed that gospel. And so how does all this relate to us? Well, we start by seeking to know the content of the great message they preach, which we are still preaching today. And then we ask ourselves how this message comes to men and women. And the answer to that question is that the proclamation of the gospel was the very thing about which these disciples prayed. You see, they were concerned about the fact that this message needed to get out. They were consumed with this. It was the thing that they just focused on the most. In other words, the only reason they prayed was their concern with the message not being hindered. As I pointed out to you a couple of Wednesday nights, the last time I preached from this prayer, I made sure that you understood and saw that they were not in the least bit concerned in this prayer about themselves. They weren't praying for them for themselves to be protected, or praying for God to keep the Sanhedrin from persecuting them. They were not praying for their own deliverance from their opponents. They were not praying for these authorities to be silenced by God or to be defeated by God. No, the prayer of the Christian church right from the very beginning was for one thing. Their prayer was this. They did not want anything to stand in the way of the gospel being preached. Folks, that's what it's all about. The word of God being proclaimed, the gospel message, which, by the way, is the only hope that mankind has. It's the only hope. Folks, listen, when you get down to the bottom line of this thing, and the only thing that matters is your relationship to God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what they prayed for. They just simply prayed for more opportunity. They did not pray to be protected. They did not pray for their enemies to die. They did not pray for anything other than for the boldness to just stand up and keep preaching and keep teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They prayed because the one thing they wanted to do was to simply go on preaching and teaching and working in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they realized that the only way they could do that was with God enabling them and giving them His hand of blessing. You see, they knew that they could not do what needed to be done in their own strength. They knew that they were nothing. I mean, think about it. Who were these disciples? Who were these men? Well, they were nobodies. That's who they were. They had no power. They had no wealth. They had no armies. They had no countries that they ruled. They were just little nobodies. Nobody knew their names. And against such standing powers as the mighty Sanhedrin and all the might and power of Rome behind that, and then all of the philosophies of Greece behind that, I mean, what could they do? They were helpless. And so there was only one thing to do, and that was to turn to God and ask God to enable them. And that's exactly what happened. Folks, listen, when you read this book of the Acts of the Apostles, you cannot help but see that this is God, the Holy Spirit, using these people. And I want to serve notice on you. These people are no different from these people that are sitting right here. And if God could use them, I submit to you that God can use you. And the gospel has not changed. I mean, the point of the gospel has not changed. Just as people were lost and on their way to an eternity in hell in Paul's day and in John's day and in Peter's day, people are lost and on their way to an eternity in hell in our day. And so the same gospel that they preached is the same gospel that we need to preach. The same power that they prayed for is the same power that you and I ought to be praying for. And so what could they do but pray? Now, there are a couple things I want to point out to you this morning concerning the ministry, the work of the Holy Spirit. First of all, I want us to look at the application of how they prayed. I want you just to think about the application of how they prayed. They prayed for boldness. And then you look at verse 31 and you will see that when they prayed for the boldness, they were given the boldness. What gave it to them? They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Folks, it was the Holy Spirit of God that gave them this boldness. And this is such an unselfish, such a sacrificing, such a giving prayer. They realize that, hey, it's not all about me. It's about the Lord. It's about getting the gospel out. They realize that if anything was going to be accomplished, it was going to be because the Holy Spirit of God accomplished something through them. And so they prayed for the enablement to tell, to be able to tell the whole world the gospel message. And the only deduction that we can make is that this enabling is indeed the work of the Holy Spirit of God. I want to suggest to you this morning just a couple of things about this, about the application of how they pray. I think the Holy Spirit enables in two ways. I think, first of all, the Holy Spirit enables the preacher to preach the message. Now, when I say the preacher, I want you to understand that I'm not only referring to the man who stands behind the pulpit with a prepared message, 3 points in a poem, like I'm preaching to you this morning. I want you to understand that when I say preacher, I'm not talking about the guy that stands up there in a suit in front of all the people and delivers the message. Instead, I am talking about anyone who shares the message of Jesus Christ with another person. You basically are preaching anytime you're sharing the gospel with somebody else. You'll find back in the early days of the church, that anytime anybody talked to anybody in this book of Acts, you see them coming into a town and they talk to this one there, or they talk to this one in jail, or they talk to this one down by the river, or they talk to this one over at the market, they talk to this one at the temple. What are they doing? They're preaching. It's one-on-one, but they're preaching. And that's the term that I'm referring to this morning. The Holy Spirit enables, let me say it this way, the Holy Spirit enables the soul winner to tell his message. As I got on the airplane Thursday afternoon, I sat down in my window seat, and the plane was full, and this lady got on the plane literally exhausted from trying to get home. I guess she'd been on planes all day the way she was complaining. And she sat down and got her seatbelt on and looked over at me, and she said, "Well, you're awful dressed up. Where are you going?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to Detroit to preach." And she said, "Oh, you're a preacher." I said, "Yes." She said, "Where's your church?" And so I told her that I was from Westminster and the church, the Open Door. And I said, "Where do you go to church?" And so she told me where she was, one of these Holly Lily Christians, show up at Christmas and Easter time. And she told me that she was what she was. And so when she told me what she was, I thought, well, surely she needs to be saved. And sure enough, she did need to be saved. And so in just a little while, I was able to take the gospel and show her how to trust Christ as her Savior. And she bowed her head and trusted the Lord and received Christ. She was so happy and so excited. Folks, listen, that's what it's all about. You say, "Well, I don't think I could ever do anything like that." Sure, you could do something like that. You see, what's missing, the element that is missing there is the fact that it was the Holy Spirit who enabled me to be able to share the gospel with this woman. I mean, she came in, sat down, turned around, asked me the question. Listen, when you lob that ball across the plate, anybody can hit it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, anybody can hit it if you lob it across the plate. And so she just comes in, "Oh, where's your church?" Well, hey, folks, the natural question is, where's yours? Oh, it's so-and-so. And anybody could then take the lead and go. You say, what is that? I'll tell you what it is. It is the Holy Spirit who had been working on that woman's heart. It was the Holy Spirit who, through divine providence, who sent his son to die for that woman's soul. It was the Holy Spirit who so worked out all the schedules and all the computers around Northwest Airlines. It was the Holy Spirit who brought that woman out of 200 or 300 some seats on an airplane and sat her right beside the man who could open the Bible and show her how to be saved. I didn't have to argue with her. I didn't have to debate theology with her. I didn't have to try to convince her. She just sat down ready and heard the message and prayed and received Christ as her Savior. Folks, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, our problem today is that we've got our churches full of people who do not realize that this is what it's all about. This matter of winning people to Christ. They weren't praying, Lord, prosper us and make us a blessing. They weren't praying, oh, Lord, keep us all healthy. They weren't praying, oh, Lord, help me to not have back pain tomorrow. No, they weren't praying that kind of stuff. And I'm not against praying that kind of stuff. Don't get me wrong. I know God answers prayer, and I know God will help. And if you've got problems, you ought to pray about them. But folks, listen, the main thing is not your back problem. The main thing is not your finances. The main thing is not even your happiness. The main thing is to realize that people are dying and going to hell, and the Holy Spirit of God was given to you the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior and given to you so that He could fill you and help you to win somebody else to Jesus who needs the Lord. Amen. You with me on that? All right. So you'll find in the book of Acts that people preached in the early days, and they simply preached by talking to one another. In Acts chapter 8, we read where there was great persecution in Jerusalem. And the Bible says in verse 1 that the Christians were scattered abroad, and they went everywhere preaching the word in verse 4. And they were not standing up and delivering sermons with 3 points in a poem. They were simply witnessing and telling others about the Lord Jesus. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. Now, the Holy Spirit enables Christians to do this by giving them unction, by giving them His power. You will look, please, at verse 31 again. It says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You see, the Holy Spirit enables Christians to do this by giving them unction. This unction is to preach. It is to be a soul winner. It is to open your mouth and share the gospel. It is an anointing. It is a freedom. It is the ability. It is an understanding. It is a clarity of speech. It is an authority. I mean, listen, folks, the whole idea of this unction of the Holy Spirit is to give some power and some authority to the message that you're proclaiming. Now, let me show you this from a couple other places. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 in your Bible. 1 Thessalonians. Look at what Paul said to the church here. Look at the 5th verse, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul said, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only." In other words, the gospel message that you heard from me, it was not just words, but also in what? Power. Exactly. And in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Paul is basically saying, and by the way, this was Paul's first epistle. This was the first one that he ever wrote. This is early in his ministry. And yet, even early in his ministry, he realized that it was God working through him. Notice how he said this matter of spreading the gospel worked. He said, he basically said this. He said, "I did the speaking, but it was not me, it was the Lord. I did the speaking, but it was not me. I was just used. I was just used by the Lord. And hey, folks, that's all any of us can ever hope for, is to be used of the Holy Spirit. Paul said it was not me, it was the Lord. I've so many times through the years had people say to me, boy, Pastor, you tore me up this morning. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I didn't tear you up. There's no way. I don't have that kind of power. What tore you up was the Holy Spirit of God. I didn't come up there and come out there and grab you by the shirt collar and beat you up and throw you around. I didn't. I've never done that in my life. I've wanted to a time or two, but I'm afraid somebody else will whoop me, so I don't ever do it. But what is it? I tell you what it is. It's the Holy Spirit of God. It's God's Holy Spirit that is beating you up. And you know, often I'm the one that gets blamed for when the Holy Spirit does the whooping. You say, well, I'm not going back there. My preacher, he just beats me up. Well, hey, listen, you can blame me all you want. It's not me. It's the Lord that is wearing you out. You ought not get mad at me. You just ought to surrender to the Holy Spirit and do what God wants you to do. And Paul said it wasn't me. I was used. Hey, folks, listen. Isn't that what it's all about? To be used of God? To be used of the Holy Spirit? Man, if you come to church and the Holy Spirit of God gets all over your heart, you ought to sit there and say, wow, thank God for my pastor who is used of God. Wouldn't that be better than some old polar bear standing, some old ice cube standing up here preaching to you that never stirred your heart or never moved you or never preached anything that the Holy Spirit could use? Wouldn't that be better than that? I think it would. Well, I wouldn't go to some church where you had some 6-foot icicle standing up there freezing everything to death. I want to hear from heaven. I want to hear from God. But Paul said, it's not me. I did the speaking, but it was not me. I was simply used. Folks, Paul realized he was just the vehicle. He was just the conduit between the people and God. He realized that he was just the channel, the instrument through that the Holy Spirit of God was using. You want to hear something neat? Oh, this is I got such a blessing from this week. We got a phone call about a year and a half ago from a fella up in Newfoundland. Do you know where Newfoundland is? Man, it's way up. It's way up there. Way over there on the coast, no man's land, basically. Newfoundland. I mean, Newfoundland. Are you listening to me? All right? And this fella is a layman in a church up there. He doesn't pastor the church. He's simply a layman in this church up there. And this church has a place where they meet, but they do not have a pastor. They're praying that the Lord will send somebody to them, but it's just a group of people, and he's told me how many before there were. I don't know. It seems like 60 sticks in my mind. And they meet every Sunday, and for a couple of years now, this layman has purchased Sword of the Lord conference tapes from the Sword and CDs from the Sword, and they have played these CDs. Well, when they got the conference tapes and CDs, lo and behold, I had a sermon or two in there. And so they played them, and this layman said, wow, and I'm going to Google this guy and see what I can find. So he Googled me, and he found the Church of the Open. Is that a word? If it ain't, it ought to be, because that's what you do. He typed my name into the Google thing, and Church of the Open Door comes up. He gets on our website, starts looking around our website, and finds out that there are many sermons on that webpage that he could download to his computer for free. And boy, he got excited. You know, people like free. You know what I'm saying? And so he starts downloading my sermons. Well, now for about the last year, I just preached to him. It's my second church. I mean, every Sunday, the people gather, they sing, they take up an offering. I haven't got a salary. I'm not on the salary schedule yet. But they take up an offering, they sing, and then he pushes a button, and I preach to them. And then when the preaching's over, he gives an invitation, and folks come, and they get saved, and they join the church, and they, you know, I mean, but I'm their preacher. All right, you ready for this? It gets gooder. Are you ready for this? Last week, he called this week to tell us that last week, they thought we ought to have a revival meeting. So they announced a church-wide revival meeting. Guess who their preacher was? He downloads a bunch of sermons, and the people come, they sing, they share testimonies, they take up an offering, and then he pushes the play button on the CD player, and I preach to them all last week, every night in a revival meeting. Folks, you want to hear the really neat thing? 55 precious people trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior last week in Newfoundland. Now, wait a minute. I wasn't even there. It wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit of God. I wasn't even on the property. I've never even been to Newfoundland. If you gave me a car and told me to drive to Newfoundland, I'd be in trouble. I would have to get a map to get there. I don't know where it is. It's up the road. I know that. It's on the coast. I know that. Can you even get to Newfoundland from Westminster, Maryland? I do not know. Some places you can't get to. And so, please understand what I'm trying to get you to see. You say, well, wow, boy, 55 people got saved. How does that happen? It's called the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's called the Holy Spirit. Amen. Folks, in reality, the Holy Spirit was the preacher. And that is what I mean by the word unction, that, and by the word power. And that is the way the wonderful works of God and the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ has been made known throughout the ages. God fills a believer and thus enables that believer and gives the authority to that believer and gives the understanding to that believer to share with somebody else who needs to hear the wonderful works of God, and when they hear it, they can believe it, and both can rejoice. Amen and amen. All right, well, one more quick thing. I have a whole other point, but we're not going to get to that. I said the Holy Spirit, we're looking at the application of how they prayed, and I said the Holy Spirit enables in two ways. First of all, he enables the soul winner, the preacher, to preach his message, the soul winner to give the gospel. Boy, thank God he does. Hey, you hear us talk about these divine appointments all the time. That's what that is, just divine appointments. But you see, you say, well, I never get any of those divine appointments. That ought to tell you something. Yeah, I mean, you ought to be a little bit more, well, nobody ever comes and sits down and just starts casual conversation with me. Well, yeah, maybe it's because God knows that even if given the opportunity, you wouldn't take it. I'm telling you, folks, it's amazing. Several years ago, Karen and I, in the first church that we pastored, she didn't pastor it. I pastored it, but she was with me. My phone rang one evening about 5 o'clock. We were just getting ready to eat dinner. And the phone rang, and this fellow said, excuse me, is this a new preacher in town? He didn't even know my name. He didn't even know my name. I said, yes, it is. He said, you don't know me. He said, I live here in Glenville, lived here all my life. Do you think you could tell somebody how to get to heaven? I said, sir, I'm an expert at telling somebody how to get to heaven. Of course I can. I said, where do you live? And so he told me where he lived. I said, I'll be right there. And so I drove down, and when I pulled into his driveway, he came out the door. His wife came out the door behind him. Their daughter came out, her husband came out, and another boy came out, their youngest son. And they all came and met me at the end of the sidewalk that connected to the driveway. And, oh, thank you for coming. We walked inside. He said, here, sir, you sit right here. I sat down. They all sat down in chairs around the living room. And without talking about the weather, without talking about what he did for a living or where I was from or where they were from or, you know, who they were related to. I mean, none of that. We sat down and instantly he looked over and he said, can you tell me and my family how to get to heaven? I said, sir, I most definitely can. And I took my New Testament out, went through the plan of salvation, and each and every one of them got saved, and each and every one of them came to church the next Sunday, and each and every one of them followed the Lord in believer's baptism. It's pretty good when they call you wanting to know how to get saved. It's pretty good when you don't have to go out and knock on their door. What is that? That's called divine appointment. Here's people that the Holy Spirit had been working on, and the Spirit just leads them to somebody that can tell them how to get saved. Amen. Don't you think it'd be a good thing for you to know how to tell somebody how to get saved? So I've never had any divine appointments. Maybe it's because you don't know the plan. Oh, you know how to get saved. You got saved yourself. But you don't know how to talk to anybody else. My friend, let me challenge you. Let me challenge you to get in our Soul Winners Club and learn how to do this. I mean, this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. But then there's a second action of the Holy Spirit, not only upon the preacher, but secondly, there is the action of the Holy Spirit upon the listener. Upon the listener. If the Holy Spirit only acted upon the preacher, there'd be no conversions. The clearest, I think, application of this passage of Scripture is found back in the second chapter. And you remember that on the day of Pentecost. And here's old Peter up there, man. He's just thundering away and preaching away. And about halfway through the sermon, the Bible just stops and says those people that heard Peter were pricked in their hearts. And they looked at the disciples and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, who was it that did the convicting of the hearts there? It was the Holy Spirit. So you not only have the action of the Holy Spirit upon the soul winner, upon the preacher, but secondly, you have the action of the Holy Spirit convincing and convicting men of sin. It was not Peter's sermon. The power, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit was there working on the listeners. And 3,000 precious souls got saved that day. And then in the next chapter, 5,000 more people got saved. That's what got Peter and John in trouble right here in our passage of Scripture. I mean, it was God the Spirit speaking to hearts. And this is the dual action of the Holy Spirit. He takes the one giving the gospel and he gives them an enabling. And then the Holy Spirit acts upon the one who is listening and convicts them and draws them to the Savior. And the amazing thing is that both of these things happen at the same time. Folks, what a wonderful plan is the plan of salvation. And it'll work. But God just needs some folks that'll work it. Now, thank God for the challenges we heard during our revival. Thank God for every message. Thank God for Brother Rossi. And God used him in a mighty way when he was here. And many of us raised our hands and we said, Pastor, I want to get involved. Pastor, I want to do something. Pastor, I want to know how to tell somebody how to get saved. Pastor, I want God to be able to use me. Well, my dear friend, listen, you're in a church where you can be taught and trained. Thank God for the Soul Winners Club. Thank God for Larry Stainer. Thank God for that class that he has on Wednesday nights. And I want to challenge you, learn how to be a soul winner. Learn how to tell somebody about the Lord. And get a burden. And then just sit back and watch the Holy Spirit use you to make a difference in where somebody's going to spend eternity. I've had so many people say to me when in this church, they've come up to me and they've said, Pastor, I could never be a soul winner. I could never do it. Yes, you can. Amen. Yes, you can. Pastor, I would die if I had to talk to somebody. I would just die. Oh, no, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. The Holy Spirit of God is your enabler. All the Holy Spirit of God needs from you is to be willing. If you will be willing, the Holy Spirit of God will use you. We had a lady in our church at Dixie, West Virginia, and I preached on soul winning one night, and she came to the altar and she was crying. And after the service was over, she came up to me and she said, "Pastor," she said, I've got family that needs the Lord." I said, "I know." She said, "Pastor, I just don't think I could do it though." I said, "Why?" She said, "Pastor, I'm just not an outgoing person." I said, "You don't have to be an outgoing. Well, I'm just not real, you know, real dynamic. She said, "Pastor, I just can't talk to people." And it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I looked at her and I said, "Kathy, you're an Avon salesman." She stood there and looked at me like I had taken a baseball bat and just ripped her with it. She stood there. She was floored. I mean, her eyes got big as saucers. Her mouth dropped open. And she just stood there and stared at me. Just could not. It just blasted her. And all of a sudden she went, "Yeah, you're right." Turned around, walked her. And she became one of the most productive soul winners in our church. You see, the devil just comes along and says, "You can't, you can't, you can't, you can't." And the devil's right about that. You can't. But boy, if you'll just submit yourself to that Holy Spirit that lives within.
Amen.
And say, "Lord, through the Holy Spirit, you can use me."
Amen.
And get in that class and learn the plan. And those of you that have been in that class and know the plan, just make yourself available and say, "Lord, use me again."
Amen.
And let's see God bless in a mighty way. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's so much confusion. Everybody thinks, the Holy Spirit, you know, woo, hallelujah, run the aisles and shout and, you know, eyes roll back in your head and speak in Swahili. I mean, we say, "Woo, the Holy Spirit." Oh, baloney.
Yeah.
Baloney. I'd rather see you walk in the door with a bunch of old sinners you've led to Christ during the week than have you run across the front of the platform shouting your head off. You got sinners by the hand, walk them down here and make a public profession of their faith. That's 10,000 times better than getting glory bumps all over your body. So I want to feel something. Yeah, stick your hand, turn the TV on, stick your hand in the back of it. You'll feel something. If all you want's a feeling, what's wrong with us? Folks, it's keeping people out of hell. And that's why the Holy Spirit of God was given to you. That's why He lives within. You say, I'm a new Christian. Good. Learn it now. That way you won't get fouled up on it.
That's right.
All right? Get it in your head now. That way, you know, it'll be new and fresh. You say, "I've been saved for 40 years. Yep, and there's no time like today. Just make up your mind. You're gonna learn how to win somebody to Jesus.
Amen.
Let's bow for prayer. Father, we are so thankful that we have a Savior that loves us. Lord, we're thankful that somebody was a debtor to us. And somebody told us how to get saved. There was a day, it could have been the pastor, it could have been a soul winner. Lord, it could have been a mother or a dad, but somebody had a burden for our soul. Somebody told us how to get saved. And now, Lord, we're debtors to others. And Lord, if we don't do it, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? And Lord, as I've said so many times before, I've lived in my home here in Westminster for 12 years, and not one time has anybody that had the truth ever knocked on my door and asked me if I died today, did I know where I'd go to heaven? Not one time. The only people that have ever come to my door are those that carry a false message. And the only people that have come to my door have been the teenagers from the Church of the Open Door. And when they've come out on visitation, they stop by to say hi. And so, Lord, if we don't do it, who's going to do it? And I pray there are people sitting right here this morning, and they have family members, they have sons and daughters, they have grandchildren, they have brothers and sisters, moms and dads, and they're lost. They're lost, and they need Jesus. And, Lord, if we don't reach them, who's going to reach them? So I pray that you will help us to realize that it's not us, it's the Holy Spirit in us that does the work. And Lord, all we need to do is just be usable. And Lord, I pray you'll break hearts this morning and help us to be usable for your honor and glory. Father, bless now in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking around. How many of you here this morning will say, Pastor, God's speaking to my heart this morning. I want to be used. I want God's Holy Spirit to use me. I want God's Holy Spirit to take my life and use me to tell somebody else how to get to heaven. I've got family. I've got loved ones. I got friends. And I want God to use me. Pastor, pray for me. Would you slip your hand up all over this building this morning? Amen. That's a wonderful sight to see. That is a wonderful sight to see. That is a good three quarters of our group here. That's a good three quarters. God bless you folks. And you know, if you put legs on that intent right there, God will do some great things. God will do some great things. You may put your hands down. Thank you. Let me ask one more question. Maybe you're here today and you're not sure you're saved. You say, Preacher, I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about my soul. Pray for me, Preacher. Would you slip your hand up? Let me pray for you. I'll not embarrass you, I promise. But I will pray and ask God to speak to your heart. Would you lift your hand? Anybody like that? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved, but I know I need to be saved. Anybody? All right. Now, Father, you know our needs today. Bless and meet the needs of our hearts. Lord, I pray for these Christians all over this building that raised their hand just now. Lord, speak to us. Stir our souls. Give us, I pray, Lord, a burden. Help us to realize that I'm not asking folks to do something in their own strength. I'm asking folks to be willing to let the Holy Spirit use them. It's His power. It's not ours. It's not our strength. It's not our ability to communicate. It's not our ability to talk. It is His power. It's His ability to use us. He will fill us. He will enable us. He will help us. Lord, we just have to be willing to be used. Oh, how I pray that you'll bless. May this altar be filled this morning. Lord, may Christians just leave their seats and come and surrender and yield themselves to what you're doing and how you're working in their hearts. Lord, let this be a banner day of victory for the cause of Christ and not a day where the devil defeats us once again. Lord, give us, I pray, a real stirring and moving of your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.